Thank you, Mom. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you open them with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to talk to you about ministry this morning. And in fact, the most important ministry that God has given us or that God has ordained in this world. Now, you remember that ministry is any act of service to God or people that builds the kingdom of God. And so, ministry is done by every child of God, not just the pastor, not just the paid staff of the church, not just the deacons, not just the Sunday school teachers, not just those who are part of different ministries that the church has to do. Ministry is what every child of God is engaged in. That's what God says. We are all ministers. And the most important ministry in all the world is the ministry of parenthood. And so moms, dads, grandmoms and granddads, I want to talk to you this morning about that ministry. And just think about how important it is and how God ordained this. If you look back in the book of Genesis, In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it says that God created the heavens and the earth, and He created it day by day by day. So first day He created something, next day, next day, next day. And after each day of creation, God said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then on the sixth day, the last day, the Bible says that God created the man and the woman. He created them in His image. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that God got down in the dust of the ground, and He formed the body of the man. In His own image, He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. That man became a living soul or a living being. And for the first time in all creation, God looked at His creation and said, it's not good. Did you ever notice that? In Genesis 2, God looks at Adam and He says, it is not good for this man to be alone. And so He says, I'm going to create someone to go along with him. Or really what He said was, I'm going to finish him off. And so He took, hey, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So, sorry, honey. Nothing personal. You know that. So God took the rib out of the man's side and He created the woman. And then in a marriage ceremony in which God Himself was the officiating officer, the Bible says that the Lord God gave the woman to the man. And now with the man, or with the woman, this man was complete and whole. He was finished. And then God put them in the Garden of Eden. And there He told them, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And they began to go to work in that garden. And then into that family relationship that was begun by God. I mean, understand this. The marriage relationship is the foundational institution of our culture and our society. It was begun by God, and it is the foundation of everything that we are as a people. When marriages begin to disintegrate or fall apart, or when the institution of marriage begins to fail, that nation or that culture or that people are going to very quickly fall and fail. That's why, brothers and sisters, we must be champions of marriage. We must be. If you love America, be a champion of marriage. And encourage strong marriages and talk about marriages and be a model of a husband and wife before God and before people. The strength of our nation is found in the strength of our families. And right there in that marriage relationship, then God very quickly placed children. For Adam and Eve, it was Cain and Abel. And of course, there was some strife in that family. But in every family, God brings children. He has put children into this marriage relationship. And as a responsibility to husbands and wives, to moms and dads, He has given us this ministry of parenthood. And I want you to know that it is the greatest ministry. It's greater, being a mother or father is greater in God's eyes than being any preacher, than being a deacon, than being an evangelist, anything else, a missionary. Because, remember, ministry is any service to God or people that builds the kingdom of God in the home. Moms and dads, you are building the kingdom of God. And you are building it One child at a time. Now in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, in fact, this letter was intended not just for that one little church in Ephesus, it was intended to be circulated to all the churches, and I think that the Apostle Paul even had in his mind that eventually it would come down to all future believers like you and me. It was intended for our church. In the book of Ephesus, the Apostle Paul talks about two things. In fact, the book can be divided almost in half. In the first half, he gives theology or doctrine. This is the things of God. And so he tells all the things of God, and not all the things, but he lays out a very systematic theology. And then in the second half, he says, now this is how you apply it. This is what you do with the things of God. So you take what you believe, your faith, and then you put it into practice. And do you know one of the primary things that the Apostle Paul talks about in this application part of Ephesians is the family. In fact, beginning in chapter 5, he talks about husbands and wives. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment, dads, husbands, because that is absolutely critical, key, primary. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then he speaks to wives, and then he gets to children. And this is where I want to pick up in Ephesians chapter 6, as he gets to the children. I want you to see how all this fits together in the ministry of parenthood. So follow along with me in Ephesians 6, verse 1. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, by the way, he does not put an age limit on that on this command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 2, he quotes the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Now remember, this is the fifth commandment. I'm talking of the ten commandments. The first one was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Commandment number 2. Commandment number 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. And then Paul points out to us here that this commandment is the first one that comes with a promise. In other words, all the other commandments were just do's and don'ts. But we get here to honor your father and mother, and God placed a promise on this commandment. Look at it. It's there in verse 3. He says, honor your father and your mother, verse 2, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now just think about for that a second. Two parts of the promise, that it may go well with you, that is, that you might be blessed in your life, you might have a good life. He's talking about the quality of life here. And that you might have a long life on the earth, and that's the quantity. Quality and quantity. And so God says, now watch this, in the family relationship with husband, wife, children, in the family relationship, God has planned to bring the promises of life, the blessings of life, the quality and the quantity of life is found inside the family. It's not found anywhere else. And a lot of us look in a lot of different places for happiness or fulfillment. We think we're going to find it in our job. Some people think they're going to find it in other people or in another relationship or something. God said this, inside that family relationship, inside the marriage, with the husband, with the wife, and then with the children, comes the blessing of life, the quality and the quantity that you may live long life upon the earth. Now that's just part of the blessing of God. Now I want you to see how all this comes together in ministry for moms and dads. All right? It's found in that fourth verse. And so he gives it here. So he says, fathers. Now here's the ministry part. And he's talking to dads. We can put moms in there too. Parents, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And that word exasperate means to anger alongside, that literally. It means to provoke to wrath as you yourself are expressing anger or wrath. And so he's saying, watch how you live your life before your children. So he says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Now get this. Parents, dads, moms. You are called as ministers. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you again, this is the highest calling in the world. And some of us have abdicated that calling. Some of us have put the kids off on somebody else. We're hoping somebody else is going to raise them. We're hoping they'll learn all they need to learn in school. Or we take them to church and think that that's where they're going to get all their religious instruction. While all the while, God says, this is my plan for this world, for a strong nation. This is my plan for a strong society. It's a husband and wife in love with one another, raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That is the ministry of parenthood. And what I want to do this morning is just show you how this ministry of parenthood works out. So I'm primarily talking to moms and dads, grandmoms and granddads, because I know that in today's world that much of the raising of children is being passed on to grandparents. And I tell you what, I've got some grandparents that I thank the Lord for. I thank God that He put them in my life. And I'll talk about that here in just a second. So here is the ministry of parenthood. All right? We can break it down, I think, in a couple of different ways. First of all, the ministry of parenthood is a teaching ministry. Okay, now get this. The ministry of parenthood is a teaching ministry. The Apostle Paul said it himself in that fourth verse. Bring them up in the training. In the training and the instruction of the Lord. He's talking about teaching. He's talking about training. He's talking about instructing. Now, Paul himself comes from a Hebrew background, and this was very deeply ingrained in the Hebrew culture and in the Hebrew psyche. They were very, very family-oriented. And they understood that the primary responsibility for raising and teaching the children was found in the home, moms and dads, and in the extended family with grandparents. And so you go all the way back and you find that Moses said this same thing to parents. You teach and train your children. David said the same thing. We get to the Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, in Proverbs 22:6. He said, and this is a very, this may be one of the most famous verses in all Proverbs. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I want you to understand that a proverb is a wise statement that is generally true. That verse does not say that children will never disobey, that they will never stray, that they will never do things that they shouldn't do. The verse never says that that if you just do everything right, then your child is going to turn out perfect. Because I tell you what, at some point, every child, as they grow up, they come to that place where they begin making decisions for themselves. And because they have a sin nature, and because they were birthed in sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, sometimes as parents, we can do everything that we know to do, the best we can do, and still our children are going to stray. That happens. And so parents, you don't have to lay a big guilt trip on yourself when a child just doesn't exactly follow everything that you've said to do. But it does say that if you train up a child in the way he should go, and the impetus is placed upon in the home, teaching and training, and being the man of God and the woman of God that God has called you to be, and modeling with your life, that's what that word train means, and that's how you do it. You model with your life, you train a child in the way you should go, and God says that what He will do is He will honor that in the life of your children, and as they grow up, they will return or they will come to that place where they honor you, as the Scripture says, honor your father and mother. Now, brothers and sisters, husbands, wives, mamas, dads, the greatest thing you can do in your life is to teach your children, to train your children, and to teach and train them to love God and to honor God. How do you do that? Well, you teach them to be like Jesus. That really is what it's all about. Teaching your children to be like Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Well, let me just give you a couple of ways. Number one, you need to teach them the Scripture. Teach your children to be like Jesus by teaching them the Scripture. Why? Because the Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Right? Now, if the Scripture is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that means that if we don't know the Scripture, that if we are not taught and trained in the Scripture, then we're just going to be stumbling around in the dark. We're going to be like blind men and blind women. Parents who do not teach their children the Word of God, and grandparents, let me lay this on you as well, what we are doing, we are handicapping our children and causing them to stumble around the dark all of their life. You say, well, Brother Greg, that's why we've got the church. I bring my child to church to teach them the Bible. No! No! In the church, certainly, we have Bible study. In the church, we teach the Bible. But let me tell you something. It's going to be in the home that those children are going to learn that the Word of God is something valuable and important. That's exactly where I learned it. When I was a little boy, my earliest memories are in the homes of my grandparents. Because my parents were working, my grandparents raised me. I have one of the most godly grandmothers. I preached her funeral a couple of years ago at the age of 102. I think I've told y'all, she's the one that prayed me into the ministry. I've always blamed her that I turned out to be a preacher. Because she prayed for me. The earliest memories I have are of her telling me stories from the Bible. But let me tell you, a typical day in my grandparents' house. My grandfather, who was a retired farmer, he would go down to the office. He had an office where really he just went to get out of the house, I think. And they sold some real estate, and I think they sold some cars. But more than anything else, they played checkers. Every once in a while, he'd take me down there, and we would play checkers. And his friends would come by, and they would play checkers. About 12 o'clock noon, about a little before that, he would get home. And my grandmother, as I can remember, every day at 12 noon, she had dinner on the table. And it wasn't, you know, just, potato chips and ketchup. It was, it was fried chicken. Their big meal in the home was at noon. And she cooked the meal, and my grandfather would be there, and we would sit down at the table at 12 noon. We would eat lunch, clean up the kitchen, and then Granddaddy would go and lay down. He'd take a nap. My grandmother would lay down on the couch and turn on the TV and watch her story. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Her story was, as the world burns or as the stomach turns, whatever it was. And she would watch that, and I would usually lay on the couch. I had to be quiet. It was required of me to be quiet because this was nap time, rest time, and usually I'd fall asleep, take a nap. And then about 2 o'clock or 2:30, my grandfather would come out of the bedroom, and my grandmother and grandfather would sit down in the living room there in their two chairs, and each one of them would have a copy of the Word of God in their lap, and they would read the Word of God. They would read it to themselves. They'd read it to each other. They'd read it to me every day. Now, let me tell you something. I went to college where I majored in the Bible. I went to seminary where I majored in theology. In college and in the seminary, I learned a lot about the Bible, and I learned how to study the Bible and all those things about the Bible. But it was in my grandparents' home that I learned to love the Word of God. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for their example, I'm sure that I would not be what I am today or care about the Word of God as I do. Because it is in the home that children learn that the Bible, the Word of God, is a lamp unto our feet. It is right there in the home as parents take the Word of God and apply it and live it. Teach your children the Scripture. Don't just leave that to the church or a Sunday school teacher or somewhere else, because if they don't learn it from you, they won't learn it. So teach your children the Scripture. What else should you teach them? Teach them to pray. Teach your children to pray. Do you know that when you pray, you are demonstrating your dependence upon Almighty God? You know, Jesus was a prayer. It has always fascinated me that here was God in the flesh, God incarnate, and yet evidently, His prayer life was such that everybody that knew Him, they knew about His prayer or about His prayer time. In fact, the men closest to Him came to Him and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. That's always interested me. They never came and said, Jesus, teach us to preach. They never said, Jesus, we teach us to heal the sick. Jesus, teach us how to walk on water. Teach us how to raise the dead. They never asked Him those things, but they did say, Jesus, will You teach us to pray? Like You pray. Brothers and sisters, You need to teach your children to pray. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about how we've taken the prayers out of school. That's crazy. That is the craziest thing. When I hear that, I think that is just the nuttiest thing in the world. We have schools, and thank God we've got schools, and they need to be teaching our children things like reading, writing, and arithmetic. If our children are learning to pray in the home, there's going to be prayer in the schools. We're not going to have to worry about that. The schools are not there to teach our children to pray. Parents are there to teach our children to pray. And let me tell you something. If they don't learn it there, they're not going to learn it anywhere else. If they don't see in your life that prayer is important, if they don't see you dependent upon Almighty God as you come before God's throne of grace and you lay your life out before them, if they don't see that modeled in the home, they're not going to learn about prayer. And it won't matter if we have every teacher reciting every prayer in the world in school. There won't be prayer in the school if there's not prayer in the home. Brothers and sisters, teach your children, teach your grandchildren to pray. Every night when my grandmother put me in bed, she'd pray over me. I'll never forget that. I will never forget them just kneeling to pray daily, laying their lives out before the Lord. Prayer is taught in the home by moms and dads who depend upon God as they come before Him to pray. Teach your children the Scripture. Teach them to pray. Teach your children service. Service. You know, we live in a world in which it's all about me. Me, 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 me. The very first word that most kids learn is mine. It's mine. In fact, you don't have to teach a child to be selfish, do you? You don't have to. You don't have to teach them to reach out and grab things and to hit somebody who tries to take it away from them. You don't have to teach a child that. What you do have to teach a child is that the world doesn't revolve around them. You have to teach a child that other people in this world are important. You have to teach a child to that their life is part of a broader thing called humanity. You have to teach your child to give. You have to teach your child to live in relationship with other children. Teach your children to serve. Teach your children that it's not all about them. How do you do that? Well, you model it yourself. That's how. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. You know, that's what the Bible says, that Jesus said about Himself. I mean, here's the Lord of glory, the King of all the universe. And on the night before He was crucified, He shows up where He's going to institute the Lord's Supper. And He looks around. All the disciples have dirty feet, and none of them have been willing to stoop to serve. And so the Lord of glory, the King of the universe, took off His robe and put a towel around His waist and got down in the dirt and washed the feet. That's Jesus. And Jesus said, if I've done this, you ought also to. Where does a person learn to serve? They learn to see it. They learn by seeing it modeled before them. Parents, the way you teach your children to be servants is to serve, is to lay your life out there, is to be a servant leader in your home. I'm talking to dads and I'm talking to moms. What are you teaching your children? The ministry of parenthood is a teaching ministry. Secondly, the ministry of parenthood is a loving ministry. It is a loving ministry. You are called to love. Can I just remind dads again? The Bible says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Would you mind if I reminded you of that? I want to do that because I personally believe that that is actually critical to the health and happiness of every home. Wives are not commanded to love their husbands. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. Now, does that mean that a wife shouldn't love her husband? Well, certainly she should. In fact, I believe that the Scripture teaches that when a husband loves himself properly, that opens the door for the wife to respond to her husband in love. Does that mean that every wife is going to do that? No. And I'm not saying that if a marriage fails, it's just because the husband didn't love his wife enough. I certainly am not naive enough to know that. But what I'm saying is the impetus in Scripture is upon the husband. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then that opens the door. And then the wives, When your husband loves you that way, you respond to him in love. And what happens in that is, then we teach our children that about the God of love and what love is all about. We teach them to love and we actually bring them into the family of God. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and I've memorized this in the King James. I've never memorized it in NIV, so I got to read it. King James says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God." In NIV it says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished unto us, that we should be called children of God." Now, do you understand that it is children of God that are brought together in love? And where is that love learned? It's learned as it is modeled out in the home. Husbands, could I just say to you, the greatest thing that you can do for your children is to love their mother. And when you love their mother as Christ loved the church, they're going to see that and they're going to learn what love is all about. Young boys learn how to treat a woman by watching his dad treat his mom. Young boys learn how to love a woman by watching his dad love his mom. And it's vice versa as well. Love your spouse, love your husband, love your wife. Model that out before your children. And then as you model out love, then love those kids. And what the kind of love I'm talking about is the love of God, which is unconditional. Romans 5:8 says, "God commended His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In other words, here we were created by God, children of God, running away from God, and God still loved us enough to give His Son Jesus to die for us. If God can love us that way, then we ought to be able to love the ones that God puts in our family that way. Love your children like God loves you. And that means that even when they mess up, you still love them. Even when they falter and fail, and they're going to, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody in here that has raised perfect children. And when they falter and fail, you love them. That doesn't mean you don't discipline them. In fact, if you don't discipline them, you don't really love them. But you love them and you teach them love right there in the home. They're not going to learn love anywhere else. They're going to learn lust by watching the television. They're going to learn how to use people by going out into this world and watching that. They're going to learn how to love by watching it being modeled in the home. The ministry of parenthood is a teaching ministry. It's a loving ministry. And then finally, it's a building ministry. And this is what I mean by that. When you build a home, you build it board by board, brick by brick. When you build a life, you build it precept by precept, line by line, plank by plank. What you are doing in your home right now is you are building something. Now the question is, what are we building? All the way back in Deuteronomy, when Moses gave the law to the people, this is what he said to them in Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. He said, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Now, do you get that? He was saying, look, day by day, time by time, as you go here, as you live there, as you do this, as you do that, what you do is you are building this life. You are pouring into this life, this young one that God has blessed you with, that God has put into your home. And you have the responsibility of building this child up. One of my baseball heroes was a guy by the name of Harmon Killebrew. He played for the Minnesota Twins. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1985. He was a great slugger, left field, first baseman. He told a story one time about when he was growing up, he had three brothers, and they were always doing stuff, playing stuff, getting into stuff. And one day they were out playing in the yard, and they were kind of tearing the yard up. And he said, "My mom complained to my dad. She said, 'You know, those boys are going to tear that grass up if we don't do something about it.'" And he said very calmly, "My dad looked at my mom and said, 'Honey, we're not raising grass, we're raising boys.'" I would remind you, parents, grandparents, you're raising boys. You're raising girls. You're not doing anything else. That's it. That is your primary responsibility unto God, and in that you will find the quality and the quantity of life that you're looking for.